Welcome to the Society for Cardiovascular Pathology podcast. Our society has been dedicated to furthering clinical and research knowledge in the field of cardiovascular pathology since its inception in 1985. We are comprised of a dynamic and collegial group of international professionals working together to foster advancements in cardiovascular disorders. My name is Melanie Boyce, and as your host today, I'm honored to introduce you to Dr. Maximilian Bouya, our guest of honor. Dr. Bouya is a professor of pathology and laboratory medicine in the University of Texas Health Science System, as well as a distinguished teaching professor and former dean of the McGovern Medical School of the University of Texas Health Science Center at Houston. He received the Society for Cardiovascular Pathology's Distinguished Achievement Award in 2009. In addition to his clinical responsibilities with the autopsy and cardiovascular pathology focused surgical pathology and consultation services, Dr. Bouya holds numerous notable extramural positions. Among these is the editor-in-chief of the Cardiovascular Pathology Journal, the Society for Cardiovascular Pathology's official scientific journal. Dr. Bouya, we are thrilled to speak with you today. Welcome to our podcast.
Thank you very much, Melanie. It's a great pleasure and honor for me to be able to talk with you and the audience.
Now, Dr. Bouya, your accomplishments in the academic realm really speak for themselves. You have over 500 research articles and book chapters. And over the course of this interview, I'd like to hear about the origins of your love for cardiovascular pathology and research and how you've been able to translate those passions into such a distinguished career. If you don't mind, we'll start at the beginning. Your first cardiovascular pathology publication was in 1969. How did you arrive at a career in pathology and in cardiovascular pathology in general?
Well, it's been a evolution over time. Well, let me start by saying I'm a proud native of New Orleans, Louisiana, and I got interested in biology, and then that led to pre-med at Loyola University in New Orleans. And then I was fortunate to be accepted to Tulane Medical School, which is the alma mater of my father, who graduated in engineering at Tulane in 1921. So I had an opportunity after my first year of medical school to get a summer job working to make some money and to figure out what goes on in a laboratory. And I was fortunate to be taken in by a wonderful man by the name of Dr. Victor Ferrans. He had trained in cardiology with a legendary professor of cardiology at Tulane, George Birch, and he had just gotten a PhD in anatomy. So under his mentorship, started helping in the lab with doing experiments, which involved preparing tissues for histochemistry and electron microscopy. And I was intrigued with that. And I went back to the lab whenever I could, not only in the summers, but during fall and spring regular curriculum. So that's where I got an interest in cardiovascular disease, and where I got an interest in and learned sort of the basics of experimental research. So that then led me to join the graduate school, and I was able to turn the work that I had done with Victor into a master's thesis. I thought it was good enough for a PhD, but believe it or not, back then, computers were in their infancy. And to get a master's degree, you have to pass one foreign language test. And to get a PhD, you have to pass two. And they wanted me to do that and also be a teaching assistant for a year. So I said, the heck with that. So I settled for a master's degree. And I used that to interview at the NIH for a position there. And I took my electron microscopy work with me, and that did the trick in getting me an interview with Dr. Bill Roberts, who had recently set up a cardiovascular path program at the NIH. So that is how I got hooked on both pathology and cardiovascular pathology. But in the interim, you had to apply to the NIH 2 years in advance. So I ended up doing a clinical internship between my senior year of medical school and coming to the NIH. And that, I would say, was quite a character building experience. I'd had enough of OBGYN, so I did 6 months of medicine, 2 months of peds, and 2 months of surgery, including 1 month in general surgery, and 2 months in the emergency room. So I really feel that that clinical exposure has served me in good stead throughout my career. So then when I got to the NIH, this was at the height of the Vietnam War, and I was very fortunate to have gotten that position. So I basically did a fellowship in the Heart Institute before transferring to the Cancer Institute, which had the residency program in anatomic path. And then I went back to the Heart Institute. So I was there for 6 years. So by that point, I was a card-carrying cardiovascular pathologist and had passed the boards in anatomic path and had also decided on a career in academic medicine. So then I had a fellow there who was Jim Willerson, who has became an outstanding cardiologist. He was a couple of years ahead of me and had gotten to UT Southwestern in Dallas. And he was interested in getting a research program going and needed a pathologist. So guess who that turned out to be? It turned out to be me. So my first 15 years on the faculty were at UT Southwestern. And we were fortunate enough to get what was called a specialized center of research grant in ischemic heart disease. With that, I both set up a cardiovascular pathology core lab, as well as I had my own individual research section. And that was a very productive time for me in experimental pathology and medicine. So then I got the opportunity to be chair of pathology here at another UT institution in Houston. And I came here in 89, and I've been here ever since. So I've been in the UT system 45, 50 years, something like that. So that's my story.
Thank you for taking the time to walk us through that. I always find it fascinating to hear how small different decisions in life really guide your long-term career trajectory. And it's fascinating. Thank you.
True. Yes, there's no question. I think we're all products of opportunities that come our way and individuals who have people we admire and have severely influenced what we end up doing.
I couldn't agree more. And it dovetails a little bit into the next question that I wanted to discuss with you. As you reflect on all of your literary accomplishments, what is or are the main factors that helped you succeed?
Well, I think there's no question it has to start with a strong work ethic and enthusiasm for what you're doing. And those two things make all the difference in the world and of being able to be successful. And as you know, in medicine, I cannot stress enough that we are professionals. And that means doing whatever it takes to do an outstanding job or try to do as outstanding a job as we possibly can. So, but more specifically, from Victor Ferrans and Bill Roberts, I learned how to write scientifically. And it was often painful. I remember one paper I did, I started with Bill on cardiac amyloidosis. And I wrote this brilliant multiple page discussion and I turned it into him. And he said, well, get rid of all of the extraneous stuff and stick to the point about our 15 or so cases. And that's just one example about you really have to put in time and effort to learn how to be a good scientific writer. And your mentors can help with that. So that's one aspect to it.
So along those same lines, I think none of us question at all your incredible academic accomplishments, but as part of that is medical education, and you are very successful in this arena as well. So what do you think are the qualities that made you an effective educator?
It comes back again to a passion for your field and also a passion for wanting to communicate your knowledge to trainees. I think it's very important to give back to our profession by being an educator as well as an investigator and clinician. So I've given a lot of time and effort to that over the years and worked hard at it. In terms of teaching methods, I really like the Socratic approach, where you basically have your learners join with you in a partnership and a dialogue in trying to reach the truth or the most we can come up with about a particular topic. It's hard to do in a big lecture format, but I still think that that is an effective way. And increasingly, I get much more fulfillment out of working with small groups of residents and individual residents than the large classroom lecture format, if anybody ever shows up anymore.
Dr. Bhuiya, you are also currently the editor-in-chief of Cardiovascular Pathology, which is the Society for Cardiovascular Pathology scientific journal. Now, in this role, you field cutting-edge manuscripts from an international author base. What qualities do you look for in a manuscript when you're considering it for publication?
Yes, I've really enjoyed being the editor of Cardiovascular Pathology. I applied to the publications committee a while back, and actually I started full-time in 2012. So I've gotten a lot of experience with this. And first of all, we want to see if the manuscript fits within the scope of our journal. Every journal has a particular focus or scope. Ours is pathology and pathogenesis of cardiovascular diseases. So I first looked to see if the manuscript was within our scope. And then I look to see if it is put together in a coherent fashion, if the language use is appropriate and reasonably well done. And then, of course, I don't make these decisions alone, but I seek reviewers. The other thing I would say is, in this position, I get to see a lot of what's going on in cutting edge research in the cardiovascular field. So I put in time, but I get a lot out of it in terms of my own personal advancement. So we now have seen over the last few years an increase in submissions. I don't know if people have more time with the COVID or whatever to do this, but we have gone from about 250 submissions a year to close to 500 in the last 4 or 5 years. As a result of that, we can be quite selective in manuscripts that we select for review. And our overall acceptance rate now is about 13%. Also, back to this idea of whether a manuscript fits within the scope, certain manuscripts we think have merit, but we will offer them transfer to a journal that might be more appropriate for the topic.
So being exposed to all of this cutting edge research, you probably have a very good feeling of where the field of cardiovascular pathology is going in the future. What do you foresee for our field in the upcoming years?
Well, I think we, of course, are a subspecialty of pathology, and I think that we are very fortunate to be in the time we are in because the tools or the technology of investigative work are just spectacular and increasingly being developed even more. And I'm thinking of advanced imaging techniques, microscopic imaging techniques, molecular approaches, all of which are starting to be applied more and more to the study of pathologic processes. Also, I think there's been really a renaissance in terms of the autopsy and in terms of human material because of what now we can do with paraffin and formalin fixed paraffin embedded tissues. And I think that that is providing an outstanding opportunity for research in pathology.
So similarly, do you envision scientific publications changing over the next 5 to 10 years, the way we communicate our findings in our international community?
I've done a lot of different things in my career because I enjoy doing and learning and trying different things. And I actually have run the Texas Medical Center Library for a period of time. So I've been on the side of publication and editorship, as well as running a library. And there's been a huge revolution in the publishing field. The whole open access movement, as opposed to the traditional publishing model, a subscription model. More and more, a publication is like a multimedia production. And you know this very well with the work that you're doing with the blogs and with the social media. You're not just submitting a manuscript anymore, but you're submitting intellectual property materials that will be packaged and available in multiple different media. So I see that as a direction that we're going.
It's very insightful and very true that any written word now really gets broadcast across multiple platforms.
Right.
Now, what would you like our listeners to know about the journal Cardiovascular Pathology?
We want to be the premier trusted voice for excellent, scientifically strong information about cardiovascular disease. We want you to regard us as the go-to place for authoritative information that's cutting edge and will allow you to be a better scholarly pathologist and cardiovascular scientist.
And Dr. Bhuiya, before we wrap up, I'd just like to ask you if you have any words of advice for early career pathologists or trainees who are aspiring to a career in academic medicine.
Well, academic medicine is challenging, but it is extremely rewarding. And I would not trade what I've done in my career for anything else. I think it's a chance to both fulfill the ideals of being a physician, but also a scholar. And I think finding one or more mentors early on is very important. Working with those mentors and crafting sequential career goals, I think, is very important, and gaining the skills. So you have to be successful in academic pathology or academic medicine. You have to have a focus and a skill set. I don't think you have to get a PhD, but I think somewhere along the way, just as I described in my career, you have to spend the time and effort to learn methodology that will allow you to answer the questions that you're addressing from a pathobiological point of view.
Well, Dr. Bhuiya, it has been an honor to have the opportunity to discuss not only your successful career, but your valuable insights into the field of academic cardiovascular pathology and where it might go in the future. Thank you for your incredible contributions to our field, to the Society for Cardiovascular Pathology, and to our journal. It's been a pleasure to have the chance to speak with you today.
Thank you. And you give people my contact information. Would love to dialogue with anyone who's interested.
Thank you so much, Dr. Bhuiya. Well, this concludes this episode for the Society for Cardiovascular Pathology podcast. We welcome new members of any experience level and enjoy the collegiality that our society brings to our careers. Visit us on the web at www.scvp.net to learn more.